You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore.
I'd like to help you, Doctor, if I really, really would, but the din in my head, it's too much and it's no good. I'm standing in a window tunnel, shouting through the wall, and I'd like to get the information, asking for more. What blood makes noise? It's ringing in my ear, blood makes noise, and I can't really hear you in the thickening of fear.
Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Good second hour, everybody. We are so glad you're with us. Thanks to Bob Griswold. We were excited to have him, and he didn't disappoint. And I think he was right on the money about the moral crisis. And the moral crisis is going to rear its ugly head in what we're doing here in this hour as well. We're joined for the first time by Dane Wigington, and most of you undoubtedly know who he is and are familiar with his work. I've been following for some time, and we've got many, many friends in common, like my partner with Red List News, Jim White, and Paul Preston. I could go on and on with the people we know in common. But we only got an hour, and there's so much to cover in such little time. So let's get right to it. Dane, thanks for joining us on this Sunday evening. And we're in a crisis. I often like to say it's almost like the Earth is being terraformed in reverse.
Well, it is being terraformed when you alter the entire biosphere to the degree that it's being altered in. And the issue with geoengineering, Dave, and why I've focused everything on this issue, not that we don't have other challenges, we definitely do, but if there's one issue that really amounts to the noose around our neck that controls how much water we get or don't get, how toxic it is, how toxic our air is, how productive our soils will or won't be, how much ozone layer we do or don't have. It's shredding the Earth's protective atmosphere, disrupting hydrological cycle, toxifying soils and waters, indeed every breath we take. And we're seeing biosphere collapse right now, Dave. This is something that they can't hide much longer, and that means the power structure is also being pushed into a corner, because as the population finds out the gravity, what's going on, I think we're going to see a shockwave around the globe. And if we can beat the power structure to the point where they're not ready to have geoengineering exposed, which has harmed every single living being on the planet equally and irreparably, if we can expose this issue before they're ready for it, we may change the flavor of what we face in our favor.
Well, I think you're right on the money with your assessment. I want to just kind of back up to step one, because we went right for the jugular right off the bat, and that's terrific. But you didn't start out doing this. You were, if my memory serves me correctly, you had a background in solar energy, and I believe you worked for Bechtel. And I'm sorry, I'm not trying to hold you to that now. I mean, you know, we all come up through the ranks and do what we do, but. But what got you to flip? You almost like flip sides. You were dichotomous here.
To be clear on that record, because some people have tried to make that an issue, and not, I know you aren't, but I mean, I quit Bechtel when I was 22 years old because of things I saw. That was three decades ago. And I saw a lot of good men that went the wrong direction there. You know, when you're immersed in that kind of environment long enough, you change, and I did not want to become like them. So I left at a very early age for the reason cited, and I've never worked for anybody since for that reason. So this issue, I've never been an activist of any type, never been politically oriented, and I never wanted this job, never did. But when you realize what's at stake, when you have children who you have to look in the eye and yourself in the mirror, if you will, this is just something that it has to be done. That this issue, this is the hole in the bottom of the boat that we have to cure. And now we see from every direction, there is almost nothing you can't connect to geoengineering in some form or another. It's the underlying causal factor, the elephant in the room, that everything from, for example, ozone destruction, which has been blamed entirely on CFCs, mathematically speaking, the CFCs are a drop in the bucket in regard to impact the ozone layer compared to what we know climate engineering has done with the particulates and their effect on the ozone. So in so many instances, you have the quote-unquote climate science community and the science community as a whole, that our nation has been taught to worship as if the little letters behind someone's name makes them infallible or uncorruptible. And the science community has done what they were told, to blame issues that are most directly related to programs they want to hide, geoengineering, and to blame that on something else so that they can provide cover for the geoengineers, if you will, from every direction, from the Weather Channel, who has paid liars, quote-unquote meteorologists that are simply reading scripts, showing us, I've seen Al Roker show a grid pattern full of aerosol-sprayed particulates, this is not condensation trails, a grid pattern in the sky, and he said, isn't nature wonderful? I mean, what kind of an Orwellian society do we live in? Nothing natural about that. So we have a whole system, Dave, that's been set up for a very long time. I know this because I've had a lot of time in the Capitol and EPA meetings. I've spoken in front of Cal Energy Commission, California Resources Board, been in Barbara Boxer's office, Lieutenant Governor Gavin Newsom, and simply everybody there knows. I was told 90 days ago or more or less by congressional reps on one of my many trips there to the Capitol that, yeah, we all know. We don't know what to do. So you have this giant elephant in the room that's tearing the biosphere apart, and everybody's pretending as if it's not happening.
It's just amazing to me that how Congress is paralyzed. They're paralyzed for their own greed and their own corruptibility. But where is the lone voice in the wilderness there? Is there anybody you can point to in Congress and say, this guy gets it, we just need for him to step forward?
No, and we won't see that, I don't believe, either.
The last
truly reputable stand-up person we had in Congress, I would argue, was Paul Wellstone, and what happened to him and his whole family. All of them taken out, and when their plane electronics were disabled on landing, and the data around that is quite sure. And we have also John Wheeler, who was a Bush aide, seen outside the Pentagon in 2011, I believe. According to reports, he was saying he was going to blow the whistle on these programs. He was found in a landfill 2 days later. So this is the program they'll try hardest to protect. And on that note, the dialogue I had with one of the architects of these programs from Oak Ridge Labs, I've cited this a number of times because it's an important factor on their mindset. And he stated during our conversation, which I recorded, and your listeners can look up if they search dialogue with the Geoengineering Insider. It's online. And he made it clear that they'll try to hide these programs to the last minute because they know if the population ever finds out, in his words, his name is Jim Phelps. We publicized his name now. We kept it hidden for a while, but he's out there in the open now. He said if the public finds out, they'll seek out those responsible and hang them or shoot them in front of a firing squad. They know what would happen. And we have other documents, Dave, which I'll be posting in a couple days now, where we've just located, 750-page document that is so in-depth and detailed from 1978, the scope and scale of these programs, the fact that these programs involved immense international cooperation with other governments, up to 60 governments, that the cooperation with these programs was to supersede any and all other hostilities between nations. And this is the level of this elephant in the room. This is how big it is. And the fact that it's described also in this particular document. We have a number of new documents we'll be posting, but in this particular document also described that total immunity was required for all federal activities in this arena, for any and all liability being created. And it goes into biological impacts, societal impacts. How much proof do we need? And for your listeners, again, that aren't, I'm sure they're many familiar with what geoengineering is, but it's a complete attempt to manipulate Earth's natural life support systems, the climate. And it involves saturating the atmosphere with electrically conductive, light-scattering particulates, toxic particulates of heavy metals, aluminum, barium, strontium, and the manipulation of those particulates is also achieved with radio frequency transmitters from a really extensive number of ground-based transmitters. Big transmitters like HARP, there's several dozen of those that can transmit as much as 3.5 billion watts, and a much larger number of smaller transmitters. But this is basically playing God with Earth's life support systems.
Dane, let me ask you a technical question here. for a long, long time, I've covered the history of mind control using electrical frequencies, and it started very in the mainstream with Jose Delgado in Spain in 1961. He went to Yale, then ended up in SRI, which we know as CIA, and in 2011, before he died, he said, we're doing things we should never be doing. And now you're mentioning here that what's being put into the atmosphere, the particulates, are sensitive to electromagnetic stimulation, if I'm hearing you correctly. Could this have a mind control application as well?
The study in regard to the effect of the radio frequencies on human brain activity is quite clear and conclusive. I would more, the term control would indicate, I think, that they have much more intricate ability there, which I question if they have. Mind disruption, I would think, would be a better, perhaps, term. But the two are similar, in that can this disrupt mental cognitive function, exposure to these frequencies, and the saturation of our systems with these frequencies? Absolutely. There's no question about that. I just would paint it more in the picture of a mental disruption category, as opposed to what the word quote-unquote control may imply, but we're just talking about semantics in that sense. I mean, the bottom line is, yes, it can disrupt our systems, and all of us are like walking antennas at this point. I mean, we're all absorbing these materials. Every human test subject that is properly tested for these heavy metals shows completely off-the-chart levels, and as I mentioned off-air, we now have peer-reviewed study on the bees, and we've mentioned to the top bee people in the country, I've spoken to some of them personally, trying to explain there's a bigger issue than the farm chemicals. Farm chemicals are horrible, but there's a bigger issue. We've tried to make them understand that these aluminum particulates were there. Now we have peer-reviewed study to prove it, that the bees are dying from symptoms that resemble Alzheimer's and autism, or excuse me, Alzheimer's and dementia. I mean, peer-reviewed articles actually use those terms, and the bees have, in some cases, 70 times more aluminum in their system than what it would take to cause Alzheimer's or dementia in a human. So that's, we knew the bees were dying 1,000 miles into the wilderness, way away from any farm activity, so we knew there was a larger issue, and we know these particulates are global, and all these dots are connecting, Dave.
It is, and I just, you know, you talked about disruption of the cognitive function. To me, this would almost explain some of the gross passivity we see in our society. Things that put people in the streets in the 60s, today, if these young people were here in the present society, they'd be tearing this society down brick by brick, and yet we just passively go along like nothing is wrong.
You know, that's a great point, and I think, you know, there's even another reason or two behind that as well. You have all the universities, all the places where such objective thinking occurred have all been bought, sold, and paid for, and if anybody even begins to open their mouth in opposition, the hammer's lowered on them. On that note, I spent this morning on the phone with an EPA environmental engineer from District 5, Chicago, Illinois. He's about to lose his job. He's already been being investigated. They've taken his computer. Why? Because he tried to bring to light that he had conclusively found evidence of the geoengineering fallout, the heavy metals of aluminum, barium. And he was trying to bring that to light, as well as the type of fluoride they're putting in the water and the synergistic effect between the two, which could cause a host of, an endless list of human ailments in addition to the cognitive dysfunction we're speaking about. And the simple fact that he's trying to bring this to light is now likely going to cost him his job or worse. He's being investigated. He was on the phone this morning with me and several attorneys from our anti-geoengineering team that are preparing to file suit. So this is what happens to anybody who tries to open their mouth. And again, when we add the ingestion of these materials that we know have these cognitive effects, yes, it paints exactly the picture you outlined, Dave.
Yeah, frightening. Well, why is it that some of us are still standing, so to speak, emotionally and cognitively and standing up to this tyranny, and then so many of us, many more of us, are just acquiescing in blind ignorance? I mean, there's got to be a difference in brain physiology, geographic location. Have you pinpointed why some people seem to be immune?
I don't think we could answer that one. I suspect you've probably always cared more, Dave, since you were young, and that's just the way you were wired. And I know I could never look the other way either. I my first memory is I was 4 years old and I saw a retarded busboy drop dishes in a restaurant, and the adults laughed at him. And I remember, I mean, I remember that moment to this day with crystal clarity. I felt a profound sense of cruelty, and the adults didn't seem to feel that. And I can't answer that one. I really can't. But I would say this for all those who are being complacent: your apathy will not save you. You're on the Titanic, knee deep in water right now on the deck. Ship is going down, as I think I heard you guys allude to beginning the show. This is not speculation. It's not alarmism. It's a mathematical fact. And if we simply graph out the trajectories we know we have, if they didn't get worse, if they are getting worse, when we've lost two-thirds of Earth's wildlife in the last 40 years, and we're losing 200 to 300 species a day at this point, we don't have long on this planet, on this trajectory. And there's a lot of reasons for that. I'm not hanging everything around the neck of climate engineering. But I am saying, mathematically speaking, the single greatest assault on the environment and the life support systems of the planet is geoengineering. And people ask, why would they do this if it's hurting them and hurting themselves? There's many large wheels to consider here, and as they've exercised the engineering of the climate as a weapon, as a tool of power, over so many decades, immense damage has been done, along with other forms of anthropogenic damage, cutting down all the trees on the planet. We've lost 55% of Earth's trees since the dawn of civilization, which is about 3.4 trillion trees. We've paved the planet. We've done a lot of damage, but nothing greater than climate engineering. So the greater the damage they do, Dave, the more they keep doubling down. To try to hide the damage already done, they simply expand the programs even more, doing even more damage.
Well, what makes no sense is how they persecute people who stand up to this nonsense called climate change, and the fact that the elite say that we have to basically stop using any energy at all, or we're all going to die at some future date, yet they're practicing horrific things with regard to what they're doing to our environment, with regard to our air, our food supply, our water. How do you rectify these two opposing viewpoints?
Here's where I have to be careful and to walk a fine line. First, even if we ignore all other forms of damage to the planet, climate engineering alone, which is human activity, right? If we isolate just climate engineering, that's certainly a human activity, which has done incomprehensible amounts of damage to the planet. And in regard to carbon, for example, because I know a lot of people debate whether carbon's good or bad for the planet, certainly we know carbon is, CO2 is necessary for life. There's no question about that. Did the planet thrive during previous epochs with higher carbon counts? Yes, it did. It did. The Pliocene epoch, 5.2 million years ago, very lush western U.S., not a droughted-out dust bowl like we have now, and carbon counts may have been 25% higher. Sea levels were 100 feet higher as well, and that's a problem. But in the previous epochs, when the carbon levels were higher, we had an exponentially longer period to transition into those zones, and we did not have the stored methane buildups. And that's the part of the equation that's missed and purposefully missed, for example, in the quote-unquote climate science community. They are not considering methane, which geoengineering and fracking and other sources has helped to release. So although, again, carbon is a necessary element without question, and in fact, without geoengineering, the forests at this point, because there would be an increased hydrological cycle, without geoengineering, if that had never started, the increased rainfall, which must happen, the laws of physics dictate this, in a warmer climate, you have 7% more moisture for every degree of warming centigrade. It rains more. You have more carbon. That's more of a stimulant. The forest would try to respond by excessive growth, but it can't primarily because of climate engineering. Because climate engineering has shredded the ozone layer, that's frying the foliage, it's bioavailable materials, which are toxifying the soils, it's cutting off the rainfall, it's creating more dry lightning because we have a conductive atmosphere, we have, again, less humidity, less precipitation, these particles are desiccants. So the Earth would have been allowed to respond, and it would have, if it had been allowed to respond, we would be in exponentially better shape right now, regardless of other forms of damage.
Where's this headed? I mean, what is the end game for all this, in your opinion?
I think at this point, the data indicates that they're simply in damage control mode. They're simply trying to hide reality from the population as long as they possibly can. They're digging in and preparing to go underground. And there's a lot of data to back this up. This is not speculation. Mm-hmm. We actually checked with 4 years ago with Mountain House freeze-dried foods that were offline for some time, supplying government facilities with their product, stocking up. We have photographs of entrances to these underground facilities, and again, mathematically speaking, there's no question we're very close to hitting the wall. There's no question about that. And where we would try to unite, for example, with the so far spineless climate science community that simply do the bidding of the power structure, if there's an area we can unite, it's to recognize this, that look, if many think they're going to try to sell us geoengineering at some point as a cure for the planet warming, and I don't think they're going to get to that point because I think they know that pig will never fly. People will never buy that. But if we recognize that, in fact, the climate system is damaged, and much of that damage, if not the greatest single factor of all, being climate engineering, if we recognize that already, they can never sell us climate engineering as a cure. Never. Climate engineering is a cure that's far worse than the disease itself. Far worse. On every level.
It almost leaves me speechless. I don't know if you're familiar with Sheila Zielinski, a good friend of mine in the movement.
Yes.
And she interviewed me on Monday. She's being sued for comments she made saying that climate change is a science, is a fraud. And then I'm sure you're aware of Dr. Tim Ball, who basically had his life savings wiped out, and he's reputable enough from a scientific standpoint to make these statements, and he was sued. Now, both people are going to win, but Dane, when you look at this, the strategy seems to be to silence the critics by lawsuits and other means. We're going to talk about that when we come back from the break. Stay tuned, everybody. More with Dane Whittington after a word from these sponsors. Well, there's a reason the elite, the wealthy, the globalists, whatever you want to call them, there's a reason why they are hoarding gold and why they've artificially driven the price down for all precious metals, because they're trying to get what's out there before everything comes to a screeching halt. Well, when in Rome, do what the Romans do. You should be imitating this behavior, because in the post-collapse period, what will likely be a good medium of exchange, one that is universally accepted? Well, it'll be precious metals. And I encourage you to call my friend Steve Quayle tomorrow morning and talk to him about what he has to offer in terms of gold and silver, whose prices have been driven down artificially low, and this is a great time to buy. You contact Steve by calling him at 406-586-4842. Again, that's 406-586-4842. And I got a couple of emails here in the last half hour since Bob Griswold left us. And they wanted to know, again, how to contact Bob, because they were interested in some of the things he talked about in his product line when he was with us during the first hour. And that's easy. Tomorrow morning, give Bob a call at 1-800-627-3809. Again, that's 1-800-627-3809. You can visit his website after our show, of course, at readymaderesources.com. And I would also encourage you to get into the habit of following Jim White and myself at the Red List News, where we bring the news to you in about 10 minutes. 6 top stories of the day, very little commentary, we're efficient, and we're in and out. You can download it to your iPod, carry it with you, get your news on the run if you don't have time to read lots and lots and lots of articles. Again, that's redlistnews.com. And then one more thing, in the post-collapse America, when food could be a problem, and you heard Bob talk about this, I would encourage you to go to foodforliberty.com/Hodges. Again, that's foodforliberty.com/Hodges. Great prices, great food, and we now have 6 months, same as cash. That's foodforliberty.com Hodges. Well, return to our guest, Dane Wigington, and he's a geoengineering expert. And Dane, before we get back into what we were talking about persecution of the messenger, tell everyone how they can follow your good work.
Our website is geoengineeringwatch, all one word, geoengineeringwatch.org. No politics, no advertising whatsoever, just data. We try to be a reference source for everybody, and our material can certainly be reposted anywhere. We just simply ask to show a source link, and our videos or our presentations can be burned onto DVD and copied and passed out, as long as you're not selling them. That's, you know, again, we don't do anything in that regard to our presentations, so we ask if anybody else doesn't either. But that being said, we just simply try to be a resource tool.
Well, I've noticed that you've got you're closing in on 19 million visitors. So this is a well-traveled, highly respected website. I've spent a fair amount of time on it. When I'm looking for information on this topic and I'm writing about something related to this, I immediately go to this site as one of my first choices. And again, that's geoengineeringwatch.org, and so much good stuff there. Dane, I'd asked you when we went into the break about, you know, basically killing the messenger. I'm seeing evidence of so much persecution. I'm sure you've endured some of it. I know I'm enduring it right now as we speak. What can you tell us about that, and what advice do you have for people?
Well, I would advise everyone to not believe anything, but rather rely on their own sense of reason after they've done research, because there's a lot of polarization that has gone on right now and very masterfully articulated from the power structure. And, for example, we have people like, I'm not sure what Tim Ball's position is on the climate engineering issue, but people like John Coleman, for example, when he is patently denying climate engineering, why would we believe anything else he says? And so I would encourage everyone, again, I don't ask anybody to ever believe me. I simply ask them to do the research. And the bottom line right now is, even if we only looked at climate engineering as a source of damage for the climate and we didn't consider any other sources, climate engineering alone has wreaked immense havoc on the planet. It has, although they can and are, and this is important for people to understand, geoengineers can create very, very profound short-term cooling events, as they have done on the East Coast, as we saw last winter. We saw, what do we see all winter long? We saw Boston snow, Boston snow, Boston snow. It's all they showed us. And this should be a big red flag that the power structure has changed its trajectory in regards to the game. They have gone from trying to put out a message that the planet's warming, we need to have carbon credits and so forth. Now what you see is simply an attempt to hide the damage done to the planet while they're doubling down with geoengineering at the same time. So while they showed us the Boston snow and the Buffalo snow, which was a tiny little strip of snow, they didn't show us that, by the way, 14,000 feet up in the Sierras, there's no snow and it's 90 degrees. And in fact, yesterday in Camarillo, Southern California, not a particularly hot place, it was 108 degrees, 108 yesterday. It shattered the all-time record, not the record for the day. It shattered the all-time record. And in Northern California, we're going back into the 100-degree range all through next week. We're shattering records. We're 25 degrees above normal. So what I'm saying is that we need to consider, all of us, the damage that's been done to the climate, and with climate engineering at the top of that list, if that makes sense. Climate engineering at the top, and if we all agree on that, we should fight this particular issue, because really, we're talking about not just damaging the climate system, Dave, we're talking about every single breath we take is laden with these particulates. That's a fact proven with too many tests to even begin to go into, and it's in the air column, it's in the precipitation, and we're talking about immense amounts of, for example, aluminum, Dave, we've seen in Northern California from baseline test of 7 parts per billion of aluminum, which is already high. Within an 18-month period, we had 3,450 parts per billion of aluminum. Highly toxic rain. It's infiltrating everything, every organism on the planet, plant, animal, insect, everything.
No, it's got to be in the transpiration cycle. It's got to be in the food. It never ends. But, you know, that's not the only thing. I covered this extensively, and I believe it's still with us because I still get the reports. It's still going on. But after the Gulf oil spill, I don't know why we call it a spill. Maybe that's a way to minimize it. and they were using the highly toxic Corexit, which was banned, I believe, in 17 nations. And the Corexit ended up in the transpiration cycle. They were getting rainfall with Corexit on, and this was on local TV in Memphis. And they sent people out to investigate and said, oh, yes, it is true. And all of a sudden, the scrubbers came in and that information all disappeared. Do you remember those events? Did you follow that at all?
Absolutely. And, you know, Corexit is, and what a name. Isn't that an appropriate name for something that does anything but Corexit? But that's a very good example, though, Dave, in regard to climate engineering. And I use that example a lot, and that the environmental impact reports on that material, that or that chemical, some of the EIRs showed that Corexit made the overall scenario 52 times more toxic, and yet they used it anyway because it helped hide the problem, helped sink the oil.
Yeah, exactly.
The same mentality is going on with climate engineering. So although as they can create these large-scale cooling events, as I mentioned, it comes at the cost of a worsened overall warming of the planet because they're trapping more heat than they deflect, they're shredding the ozone layer, they're disrupting the hydrological cycle. But they can create headlines where they want them. And this is what's important for people to consider. And I don't ask anyone, again, to believe me on the scenarios that are playing out right now. But when we see the most anomalously cold place in the entire world for the last 2 years, it sticks out like a blue thumb on an otherwise red planet, is the eastern half of the lower 48. And people simply need to consider that that is not a natural scenario. And we have the data to back up that it's engineered. And if they simply searched online, Dave, engineered cool down of the eastern U.S., it's important to understand those events are being engineered, and just to put that into your bigger picture conclusions. And that's when people build conclusions, I simply ask or hope that they do some research before they put those conclusions together, because there's a lot of power structure manipulation of perceptions going on right now, and we all need to consider that, wipe our lenses clean, and take a new look, because the game changes every day.
I don't know if you're familiar with Dr. Wilma Subra from the Louisiana area, but she did a series of blood toxicology analysis following the Gulf oil spill. And we're talking, I think it was 2-3 years down the road, so like 2012, 2013. And she found, and I reviewed her data sets, and I used to teach research and statistics at the graduate levels. I mean, this is in my wheelhouse. And when I reviewed her data sets, I found them to be reliable, and it was well done. Level of significance was high. And when we look at what she was saying, in fact, I'll quote her from memory here. She said that Corexit is in the air, the water, the food, and most of all, it's in us. And she found in several people benzene levels, for example, that were 65 times the rate of expected. I've been calling for a long time, and we won't know for 20 more years, but I said in a generation, we're going to see a lifespan expectancy in that region of the country that will drop far below the rest of the country.
I don't think there's any question about that. The only issue in play here is, will we be here in 20 years?
And if we look That's a good point, yeah. Yep.
You know, on this current trajectory right now, in Northern California, Shasta, Siskiyou counties, where we have former U.S. Forest Service biologists testing for us, we've seen over the last 10 years, a 90% decline in aquatic and terrestrial insect life. 90. How long will we be here at that rate? The forests are virtually silent. Again, at the species extinction rates I quoted earlier, if you graph that out, we're gone by that point. So,
well, Dave,
we have
is that
to
number,
change course.
Is that number due to the drought in California, or is it more due to Fukushima and the radiation effects?
Fukushima is certainly a factor, which I can't ignore, and Fukushima may kill us all as well. But if we look at a lot of issues happening right now, the marine ecosystem implosion, which is happening, a lot of people don't realize most of the west coast of the North American continent is dead or dying, and Fukushima is again a problem. But if we look at the collapse of the food chain, the more verifiable direct causal factor would be still traceable back to climate engineering, because we have the intense UV, and we're citing, Dave, UVB readings that are 1,000 to 1,100% higher than we're being told. It's off the charts. That kills plankton. Plankton supplies are crashing. And again, a lot of sources of plankton decline. I'm not singling out geoengineering, but I'm saying mathematically, when you shred the ozone layer, you're blanketing the entire planet with this UV. So we have the plankton populations collapsing 50 to 60% down now. So the food chain collapses. and on the immediate fish kills where the fish all float belly up. And this is an important factor relating to the climate and everything else. This is methane and hydrogen sulfide release from the seabed. When you have a massive gassing from the seabed of these gases, it creates hypoxic and anoxic zones, so it deoxygenates the water, and you have an immediate fish kill. So regardless of the fact that they're radioactive, what kills them most immediately are these other factors. And as the food chain collapses, and there's no food for anything, and we know this. I've communicated with some in the fishing industry that are finding seals in their crab traps at great depth, stuck, dead, trying to get at the bait because there's nothing else to eat. They're being told by some of the agency officials they are not allowed to talk to media to try to hide this issue. And so, again, from the insect decline to the marine ecosystem decline, even though Fukushima is a massive problem, we see mathematically a causal factor that would lead much more readily back to climate engineering, excessive UV, the decline of the forest system as a whole, the boreal forests are crashing. So the climate engineering issue would mathematically be the bigger issue right now, even above Fukushima.
So what kinds of things and what time frame are things... Well, I guess that's a bad question. Let me back up. Things are already happening. So as we look at things that are going to lead to quick morbidity in people, increase the death curve, what things out of geoengineering is hastening this process?
Well, that would be a difficult one to quantify, because aside from the fact that we have this toxicity building up in us, and we know we have aluminum in us now, we know we have barium, it's immune suppressant, aluminum is building up, we know we have fluoride in us and mercury, and the synergistic toxicity between these metals is immense. And we have peer-reviewed study in regard to aluminum and mercury. The combination of those two metals can increase toxicity by as much as 10,000%. So all these metals, and that's a statistical fact, by the way, enough aluminum to kill 1 in 100 rats, combined with enough aluminum or enough mercury to kill 1 in 100 rats, you combine the two, all the rats die. So we're talking about an unbelievably toxic soup that's affecting human health. But in addition to that, when we don't have enough water and we don't have enough food, now the mortality rates go through the roof, and we're seeing that right now. Mongolia recently lost 80% of its crops. That is most directly attributable to what amounts to weather warfare. Climate engineering is weather warfare, period. Climate engineering is biological warfare, period. You can't separate in those categories. So when there's not enough to go around, where does the death rate go then, when people are literally in the streets and at each other's throats? And I would argue we're quite close to that point. Global pelagic fish populations down about 90%. Tuna populations, in the case of bluefin, down as much as 97%. We're not going to be eating seafood much longer, period. And this is a non-linear equation. People need to understand that. The science community is nothing more than a facade in so many ways at this point. And they take graphs looking backward, and they project that graph going forward. There's no reality in that. None. Now, this is, again, a nonlinear equation, so on this trajectory, mathematically speaking, right now, given the numbers we already have, if nothing got worse, we're in a very, very short time frame. We must change directions immediately, starting with the stopping of climate engineering.
When will it be the point of no return? What kind? And I know it's not a time frame answer that you're going to give me, but what do we need to avoid having happen before we say game's over, we can't turn this back around?
Well, I think we need to, if we could categorize that, if we're talking about returning to the planet we've known, we're far past that point. We've already gone through the guardrail,
okay,
and we're heading to the bottom of the canyon. It's too late to put the brakes on. Can we preserve the planet's ability to support life? Hopefully so, but only with a complete change of direction. Right now, we have this is where, aside from the whole CO2 argument, we have to look at methane. Have to. Methane is filling the atmosphere as we speak. We have too many sources of readings and too many ways of verifying this. We're not relying on NASA or NOAA or any of the agencies we know lie profusely. But we have too many sources of data to not recognize this is happening. We're seeing nighttime low temperatures rising twice as fast as daytime highs. Geoengineering is adding to this. Geoengineering has helped to cause the methane problem. Climate engineering has altered upper-level wind currents radically. That's altered ocean currents. We now have warm water pumping into the Arctic, thawing methane on the seafloor. So, again, if we only looked at only geoengineering and we ignored everything else, that's enough to have tilted the scale by far. So with the methane filling the atmosphere right now, Dave, if we look at past paleo events like the Petam era, the Paleocene, Eocene thermal maximum, 55 million years ago, methane mass expulsion, like what's happening now, global mass extinction, 70% terrestrial extinction, 95% aquatic extinction, that's the track we're on. And there's enough methane in the Laptev Sea to cause a Permian-style mass extinction 100 times over. So aside from all the CO2 discussion, we need to look at methane and the fact that climate engineering has helped to cause this. Other sources have as well. I'm not ignoring those. But climate engineering, again, it's the elephant in the room. The planet life support systems revolve around the climate and a non-toxic environment, and geoengineering has destroyed both of those.
Well, Ted Turner warned us back in 1997 in Audubon magazine that we needed to reduce all human population by 90%. So here's the ubiquitous question. Is this intentional? Is this the culling of the herd?
I don't think we can put it in that simple a box. Do I think eugenics is a part of this? I don't know how you could argue it isn't. Certainly it must be a part of this. It is a part of this. It's happening. They know how toxic this is. They're continuing to do it. We have enough lab tests to see that they're, from the Carnicum Institute, for example, they're showing what they consider to be engineered pathogens in some of their testing. The biological testing is going on. So I think we have to consider this in part a factor of eugenics. But there are other factors as well. And those factors are, again, to try to hide the severity of the damage already done to the planet's life support systems, while doing even more at the same time, just like Corexit. In order to, why would they do that? Because they're trying to buy themselves time to prepare, and they're using it as weather warfare. We have to look at that. Every country that has shown resistance to U.S. policy, Dave, gets hammered. Let's all the way back to the sub-Saharan African countries. For decades, droughted into oblivion, and then once they're on their knees, they're forced to allow U.S. occupation. That's why we have U.S. occupation in 156 countries around the globe. Now to the Middle Eastern countries. Every single one of the Middle Eastern countries that has just been toppled was subjected to record-shattering drought, destabilized before they were toppled. Now we see the same thing happening in the U.S. California drought, whatever other factors anybody wants to consider, especially in regard to the California drought, there is no denying that whatever the motive, this drought is most directly related to climate engineering, period. So now is the same weather weapon that's been used on opposing countries being used on our own population at this point. So there's so many factors involved with this. Eugenics is certainly and arguably one, but there's the ongoing weather warfare. There's a lot of layers to the onion.
Let me give you an example of an insider. I've had a bit of an aha moment tonight listening to you process this. 20 years ago, I was a Maricopa County first responder where I was working, and then FEMA eventually took the program over. And the reason I volunteered, among other things, is my family would have got the drugs and inoculations against chemical and biological attacks first, and then I also wanted to help. Well, as FEMA started to network with us and I went to several meetings, I got to be friends with someone in FEMA, and I don't want to divulge how close we were in the specifics because I don't want to identify him, but I knew him and his family very well. They showed up 3 years ago this month to where I was working in the evening, and they were waiting for me. And they said, we're bugging out here in December. And his specialty was anti-chemical biological warfare for FEMA. That was his specialty. And he was good at it. And he told me they were relocating to a location with like-minded people from DHS and FEMA, and they were going to try to be as subterranean as they could be, their own air supply, water supply. And he said, at the end of the day, I don't think it's enough. Now, he wouldn't tell me everything that was going to come because he said it'll be traceable right back to him and he wanted to avoid that. But do you think he's referring to what you're talking about here? Just with a little
no
bit
question.
Heard?
There's no question. And there's no question they've known for that long. There's absolutely no question. Mm-hmm. The documents we have that I'll be, some of which I'll be posting in a few days, other documents we have, make absolutely clear the power structure has known this was coming, and at the same time in their attempt to try to continue using these weather weapons and continue hiding the damage already done, they have guaranteed that we are past the point of any return. And to give your listeners an idea of the equilibrium periods, for example, after the Petam event, which I mentioned earlier, the last mass extinction, about 10 to 20 million year equilibrium periods You cannot hide underground that long. And during those periods, the ocean temperatures were as much as 105 and 110 degrees in some of the equatorial regions, and we had terrestrial temperatures 140 and above. So once the climate system is damaged at this point, and the climate engineering is the greatest assault against the web of life ever launched by mankind, even superseding the threat we face from nuclear. And if we start plugging this into other aspects, Dave, like let's take Fukushima, and since we know we have a shredded atmosphere now, we have less protection from a CME, a coronal mass ejection, solar flare. And if we have a Carrington-type event now, and we have grids shut down around the globe, now we have lots of Fukushimas, a whole lot of them, because the nuclear plants can't cool themselves.
Exactly.
So it's yet one more road that leads to nuclear cataclysm, ultimately caused by climate engineering in many ways. You can tie climate engineering to so many aspects of converging catastrophes. The list is almost endless. So I'm sure your friend was right. Yes, he knew this was coming, and climate engineering is hammering the nails into our collective coffin from so many directions.
I'm sure you're familiar with the document, and I've been familiar with it for a long, long time because I knew someone in the group, so to speak. Air Force owning the weather 2020 and all the patents that go with it.
Absolutely.
That's been made public now, but I think I got to see it in the preview period, so to speak. And what was striking to me was the answer I got from one of the people that I know that was involved and is a signatory to this. I said, how far are they willing to carry this? He said, as far as they need to get the planet the way they want it. He said, we're merely an instrument. He was referring to himself being an Air Force officer. He said, we are merely an instrument to the elite's end, and they will carry this as far as they need to get the planet in the condition they want it.
I believe that that person believed that, and there's many in the programs that were not in the loop enough to understand that the totality of what has now been done is in no sense in control. And the power structure, I believe, knows, and they certainly know at the top, that they are on a runaway train that they have created, and there's no stopping it. There's no going back. And some of the, I think you'll find particularly damning, even much more so than the owning the weather document, what we'll put out in a few days, I think you'll find exceptionally damning. This is a congressional document, again, calling for 750 pages. Important sections are highlighted, but going over budgets, countries involved, the immunity that's demanded for all involved in the programs, there's an awful lot here. And how much proof do we need? This has just been the largest and most preferred weapon of mass destruction ever exercised by the power structure, and now the consequences will be total. If it's not stopped immediately, and if we don't have an immediate change of direction, the consequences will be total for all of us.
Will anyone be able to survive long-term underground? You said 10 to 20 years. I've been told people could live down there indefinitely. So what is your understanding of that?
Well, here's what you have to understand is that let's take Venus for an example. Venus is not 900 degrees on the surface because of its proximity to the sun. If all factors were equal, Venus would be about 20 to 25 degrees warmer than Earth. So let's look at the climate engineering mentality. Their mentality is to create a higher albedo for the planet, greater reflectivity. That's a stated purpose. We know there's many other purposes. Venus has 2.5 times the albedo of Earth, but it's 900 degrees. So obviously there's a little bit more to a functional planet than an atmosphere full of light-reflecting particles. So if Earth is put on that track, and climate engineering is putting it on that track, helping to trigger methane release and so forth, if those processes continue, no one lives. I don't care if you're above ground or underground. You're talking about a planet that, on which the scale has been tilted so far, if that much methane is released, and again, climate engineering, for all the reasons I cited, is helping to release that methane, in addition to other causes and factors, it's game over for everybody. I don't care if you're underground or not. You're talking about conditions that would render the entire planet uninhabitable, period.
I almost feel like saying, open the pod bay door, Hal. You're closing off all the escape hatches here, Dean. The only thing that's left for the elite then long-term is Elysium, and I'm talking about life in a space station.
I know what it is. I know what you're referring to, but this is why I stress, I know I paint a bleak picture, but this is why I stress we have to prioritize, we have to change direction, starting with the stopping of climate engineering. If we could stop climate engineering, the planet would respond. The hydrological cycle would ensue with a fury. It would rain. profusely. We wouldn't have these massive droughted-out boreal forests, which are the second greatest source of oxygen on the planet, that are producing nothing now, no oxygen. They're simply burning and filling the sky with ashes, which settle on the ice and create a greater feedback loop. If we could expose and stop climate engineering, that's the greatest leap we could take in the right direction. And life wants to live, Dave. You know that. The smallest crack in the asphalt, in the asphalt jungle, what comes up? A blade of grass. Something comes up. And if we simply give life a chance, but life can't swim with the geoengineering straitjacket around it. Can't do it. This is the issue we must deal with if we are to have any chance for long-term survival. And if we do deal with it, and we take that leap in the right direction, I believe we have a chance. But we must deal with this issue.
Again, tell people how they can follow your good work.
Geoengineeringwatch.org, and we can. There's a lot of archives of data there, but I encourage people just, you know, you take your time and go through their separate categories, but we simply try to be a resource tool, and we encourage people to share that, and we'll try to post data as fast as we can, Dave.
Meanwhile, I'm going to dig a hole as fast as I can and hope you're wrong about not being able to survive underground. This is frightening stuff. I can't believe we have gone this long and not crossed paths, and I want to thank you for coming on, and we certainly look forward to having you back on again.
Thank you, David. Thank you very much for your efforts toward the common good, everything you do.
Thanks, Dane. Boy. What interesting but frightening stuff. Dane Wingington, everybody, and thanks for joining us, Dane. We're going to go into our top of the hour break now, and when we come back, we'll be joined by the effervescent Katie Whalen, and she's going to be bringing us the Common Sense Show Health Report. Maybe she has a solution for what's coming. How do we live in 900-degree oceans? That might even be a better question. Anyway, we're going to step aside, and we come back. And also, we are going to have a breaking story at the bottom of the third hour in our commercial segment. So you're going to want to stay tuned for that, too. We'll see you on the other side.
On Facebook, on the news, and in conversations with friends, we're bombarded every day with advice on how to be healthier, from gluten-free and non-GMO diets to how much exercise and sleep the body needs. But how much have you heard about alkalizing the body? AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are a holistic and natural way to get your body's pH levels back in balance. Just a few drops in water will help your body rid itself of harmful waste, and even the healthiest of diets can be complemented with your daily use of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Who isn't looking for more vibrance, vigor, and energy? Now buy two bottles of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops and get $10 off your order. Visit AlkaVision.com or call 800-518-7615. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are packed with a powerful combination of the most alkaline minerals and compounds. Open the door to greater health, vitality, and zest for life. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health. Call 800-518-7615 or head to AlkaVision.com.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.